Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, man. And are you down in New Orleans, Connor?
That is correct. I was on a late night flight on Saturday that did not land in New Orleans until about 2 a.m.
Right.
Local time due to some of the weather, but I am here in New Orleans having a good time. I got to talk to the Georgia team today, and it was a very interesting Monday afternoon here in New Orleans.
I always say to Connor, as Rob Tribbles in for Carl, I wish that Connor would embrace the old hard scrabble writer that would, you know, obviously the hard drinking, and I should say hard scrabble, the hard drinking, hard charging writer, like the old days, you know, who just get absolutely schnockered. 24/7.
Too much clean living there, Connor.
Yeah, Connor, I never see you pickled. You're always ready to go, even in New Orleans. So that's professionalism.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Sportsbook last night watching that Falcons Washington Commanders game and the way it unfolded. And, you know, may have enjoyed some fun there, but, you know, big day today. Right. Obviously, getting to talk to a lot of players and a lot of people we don't usually get the chance to talk to today.
All right, buddy, let's start with Gunnar Stockton. I saw the video. It looks pretty funny. They're doing their media, and he's talking, and the entire offensive line comes over and says, "When do I get to drive your truck?" Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and this isn't to take anything away from Carson Beck, but there is just a different energy around this entire team since Gunnar has ascended to be the quarterback for this team. I think there's something about his personality, about, you know, his roots, his upbringing, that these guys just sort of easily relate to and buy into. And it's a credit to Gunnar, and it's a credit to Kirby Smart for, I think, rallying around him. I don't think Gunnar Stockton is a better quarterback than Carson Beck, but he absolutely changes the dynamic and the feel around this team. And look, they've got to go out there and do it against Notre Dame in a college football playoff spot where Gunnar Stockton is going to be making his first start since November of 2021. But they absolutely believe that this is a guy that is capable of winning not just this game against Notre Dame, but ultimately a national championship.
All right, Connor, the national media, they're all about Notre Dame. Bad draw for Georgia. Notre Dame is college football's most complete team. Where's the decided advantage for Georgia? This is not who Kirby Smart wants to play in this game. Kirby feeds off this. He uses it, doesn't he? I know he doesn't ignore it. He does feed off of this.
He's absolutely eating this up. I think there are, interestingly, a lot of national media types that are jumping on this Notre Dame team. They're saying, oh, you know, they've really rebounded since that Northern Illinois game. Notre Dame has played one college football playoff team so far this season. That is Indiana, who, just quite frankly, is not a college football playoff talent caliber team. They belong to be to get in the field. That's great. From a talent perspective, they are not one of the best 12 teams in college football. This is easily going to be the best team that Notre Dame has faced to this point in the season. For Georgia, I think Texas is better than Notre Dame. I think Ole Miss is a better team than Notre Dame. I think, you know, in terms of talent, I think Alabama is a more talented team than Notre Dame. So this is going to be something where Georgia's played in games like this before. It's the biggest game Notre Dame has played in probably a while, probably since that 2020 college football playoff game where they got skullrug by Alabama that year. For Georgia, this is just another game, and it's a game where they get to play that underdog card, and I'd point out this year, Georgia's 2-0 when they were an underdog, and you know we'll see where they finish in terms of point spread and line and things like that. But they're eager to be the underdog in this game, and you've seen in years past. You think back to the 2022 Tennessee game; they thrive in this position.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was driving back from Florida, listening to that game with Indiana, and driving down there, I should say, against the Irish. Kirk Cignetti, they went to a shell. They talk about Indiana's special teams. They didn't do anything. They didn't kick return anything. And they didn't really get into the juice that you're used to seeing the Hoosiers play with until like, the game was over. I would think, Connor, what shows what Georgia may be able to do, provided Gunnar Stockton has his receivers catch the ball, is how Jaden Maeva and USC lit them up, scored 35 points in the Coliseum against Notre Dame.
Right, and USC is the most athletic team that Notre Dame had seen at that point in the season. And while I don't think Georgia has the same caliber of receivers that USC team does, it's still a very complete football team. And offensively, I wasn't exactly blown away with what I saw Notre Dame do against Indiana. And Georgia's defense, for as inconsistent as they've been at times this season, I think is still significantly better than what Indiana has been. So it's a game where I think Georgia has the talent edge. I think they've got the coaching edge. And while, yes, you give Notre Dame, I think, the quarterback edge in this game and what they have, I still think that this is a really good Georgia team and one that I think is ultimately going to find a way to win on Wednesday night.
All right, Connor, two-parter for you. Tell me about Gunnar Stockton as a human being. What is he like? And also, I know Georgia offensively is not going to reinvent the wheel, but what are they going to do to make sure that Gunnar Stockton is successful?
Yeah, so Gunnar Stockton, the person, you know, off the field, quiet, reserved, nice, just all around sort of all-American clean kid, you know, drives the 1984 Ford F-150, a throwback to you know, an era, you know, as someone who drove like a 1995 Ford Explorer throughout high school and college, I certainly get and can appreciate that. But when he steps on that field, he is not going to help pick you up when you get knocked over. He's going to try and run over you and then say something to you as he walks back to the huddle. He absolutely has that dog in him. I think it's a big reason that he resonates with teammates, where he's a great guy off the field, but on the field, he's absolutely someone you want on your team. As far as how this offense looks and how this offense changes, you saw them sort of do it on the fly in that game against Texas, moving guys around, relying a lot more on this running game, you know, using your tight ends and getting them involved in that sense, simplifying this offense. I think with the time that they've had, look at how Georgia Tech used Haynes King specifically in that game against Georgia. Then I'm not saying Georgia's going to run Gunnar Stockton 24 times because that's not sustainable. Georgia's ultimately got to try to win two more games after this one potentially. But how Georgia Tech used Haynes King, how Buster Faulkner designed that offense for Haynes King, I think there's some similarities there with what Gunnar Stockton can do and rep that into this offense.
That sounds great, because we know the receivers have been a mixed bag at best. Rob was talking about, you know, getting lucky and Delp, get the tight ends involved. Aside from that, as Connor Riley, guys, joins us from Dog Nation, Kate Connor Riley on Twitter, you follow him. Do you feel there's any kind of something, I don't know, some secret sauce that Mike Bobo tries to throw in this one?
I'd be really honest. We've seen some big games this year. First play of the game, they take a deep shot to Arian Smith, and it hasn't always worked out. You know, either the pass wasn't accurate or Smith couldn't hold it in. I would love to see him do something like that in this game against Notre Dame, just to say, hey, we know we've got a different quarterback. It doesn't impact us at all. We're still Georgia, and we're still going to go out there and do what we always do. I think Burrow deserves some credit for how he fixed that offense in the second half, given just how poor they played in the first half with Carson Beck. And so, look, the offense, it's going to have to look a little bit different because it's going to have to be tailored to Gunnar Stockton's skill set. But it's a guy that has known Gunnar Stockton for a long time. Stockton originally committed to Mike Bobo when he's the offensive coordinator at South Carolina. If there's anyone that is capable of drawing up a game plan and knowing what the strengths and weaknesses of Gunnar Stockton are, it's Mike Bobo. And you can bet that this is going to be a big game for him to get the most out of this quarterback.
All right, let's look at some of the other games. Do you think any upsets are looming on the horizon with the other games, where an upset could take place?
I'm very interested in that Boise State-Penn State game. And I know Penn State wiped the floor with SMU. SMU threw two pick sixes in that game, and that just sort of made it a non-starter from that point in the first quarter. This is the Boise State team. Look, everyone knows about Ashton Gentry, and he's a great running back. He's the best player in that game. And Penn State's going to gear everything they can to try and stop him. But the Boise State team has 52 sacks on the season. They're going to get after it. And I haven't been all that impressed this year with this Penn State offense. And yes, they blew out SMU. Great for them. Their two best performances this year still came in games that they lost, admittedly to other college football playoff teams in Ohio State and Oregon. And so it's a Boise State team that is rested, that has some significant program history in that building in the Fiesta Bowl where they famously knocked off Oklahoma. I'm very interested to see what that game looks like. And if that turns into a four-quarter game, I think that favors the underdog Boise State there.
I know that the Oregon-Ohio State game was one of the best games, most entertaining games of the season. Do you feel that Ohio State, they finally, you know, shook off the ghosts of the Michigan loss, and all of a sudden they look like a team that can beat Georgia or hang with Georgia and can beat Oregon?
Absolutely. I think that Ohio State game, especially against Tennessee, showed that Ohio State's A game is the best in the country. And when they play like that, I don't know if there's anyone out there that can beat that. But I also think we've seen enough from this Ohio State team to know that they're not going to play that A game three more times this season. And so they're going to have to find a way to win when they don't truly play their best. And if these games get tight at the end, like you saw against Michigan, like you saw against Oregon early in the year, this team just kind of puckers up. And so it's an Ohio State team that is a bit of a front runner. And so I'll be interested to see what happens when they get dragged into a four-quarter game. Because I'll tell you this, you know, that Georgia team, total opposite. Nowhere near as pretty. Doesn't have the athletes on the outside like a Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State does. But, it'd be interesting if we get a chance to see those two teams play. You get a Georgia team that has just been in so many knockdown, drag-out brawls over the course of the season and has found a way to win more of them than not. Take on this Ohio State team that has some questions, I think, about the mental toughness and what they're able to overcome.
Connor, you think they're going to do anything to maybe tweak the college football playoff? Look at college basketball. Just because you win your conference championship does not mean you're going to be a number one seed in a regional. What tweaking do you think will take place to avoid the blowouts in the first round?
I do. I think you're going to see them go from top four conference champions get the bye to just top four seeds get the bye. I don't know when that happens, though. They could change it before the 2025 season. It's important to note that the current playoff structure is only agreed to through the 2026 season. And so perhaps most realistically, that might be when we see those changes there. My bigger thing, though, and look, I think you're always going to see some blowouts in this format for a couple of reasons. Like, you look at the NFL, there are going to be wild card blowouts just because I think that the quality and team in some of those games that are being played are just a little bit different. And in college football in particular, the not-so-dirty little secret in my mind is that there's maybe really only seven or six teams each year that have the talent capable of winning a national championship. And some of those teams are just by nature going to have to play in that first weekend. You saw, I think, Texas do that. I think you saw Ohio State do that. They fit that national championship program, and they're just playing teams that aren't capable of doing that. And I think more often than not because of the structure or anything like that, but just the way college football is, you're going to see some mismatch games in those first round moving forward. So unless you want to go to like an 8-team playoff, I just sort of think that's the reality of the situation.
I bet Clemson to cover, and that didn't happen. I'm going to bet Arizona State to cover. I just feel Texas is soft and physicality, and I think they're going to get scatabooed here at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Do you feel that Texas is going to handle their business against Arizona State pretty handily?
I'm excited to watch that game because like it's an Arizona State team that there's just a toughness about them, and they've been playing super well down the stretch. And look, that Texas defense is legit. I think it's the best defense in the country, in my opinion. But there's just something about that offense where they're a little bit off. And I know they ran the ball great against Clemson. We'll see what they're able to do against Arizona State. But I like the swagger that Arizona State program plays with. And I don't think they're going to be afraid or intimidated by Texas coming in there. And so it's going to be interesting. I think similar to that Penn State-Boise State game, you know, what happens if that game turns into a four-quarter game and what does Texas look like? Because we've seen against Georgia, you know, they may not be able to do that. But Arizona State, I do not think it's the same quality of program that a Georgia is right now.
All right, real quick, we got about 20 seconds. A heavy, steady dose of Trevor Etienne coming up on New Year's night?
I think you see that there. Maybe you mixed in Nate Frazier, but I think you see with what he did in that second half of the Texas game, this is a game where I think he now becomes the most important player on this Georgia team, and they need to find a way to keep him going and get him big reps.
Have you had any fried oysters yet?
I did not have fried oysters. I had some yellowfish tuna last night and then some lobster bisque here at dinner. So looking forward to some more seafood tonight.
Can't argue with that right there, man. All right, brother, have a great time there in the Big Easy. Connor, we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, see you guys.
That's our guy, Connor Riley from Dog Nation.